Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Thank you. You may be seated. You know, as I end this sermon series, deliver us with Joshua here this morning, I've read and we've been reading an entire generation of Israelites wander for 40 years in the wilderness with the promised land over the next horizon. Like the greatest generation here in America, these Israelites who witnessed the miracles of God in Egypt, they are now dying. They are dying in the wilderness. In their place arises a new generation of Israelites to whom the reins of leadership is now being passed. Yet, their great leader of the past and present generation, Moses, is now dead. The nation stands at a defining moment in its time. What will they do? Who will be their leader? Has the dream died with Moses? Is the question upon the minds of a generation of Israelites. Where will we go and what will we do? You know, within this story, I see many similarities to First Baptist Church, Tallapoosa. You may feel as though you've been wandering through the wilderness for many years now. Many of the leaders of our past are growing older and many have passed on. The next decade is going to be a defining moment in the life of this church. Many of our leaders seated here with us today will go on to be with the Lord. The baton of leadership is passing to us, the younger generation. It is those from this generation who must face the reality of leading in the 21st century. We are leading this congregation forward. However, as the baton of leadership is passed, the reality of leadership is also assumed. And there is a question that we must all ask. It is the same question the Israelites faced as Moses dies. Has the dream died? Who will lead us? Where will we go? And what will we do? It is the question every generation must face. It is the fear that every generation must confront. Am I ready and able to lead? That is the question, and that is the fear. You know, as I look back in to the death of Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 34, in verse number 4, we see there where Scripture tells us that I have let you see it with your eyes. This is the Lord speaking. He sends Moses up on a mountain so he can look out across the land. He could see it with his own eyes, but he told him that you shall not go over there, the Lord told Moses. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, in verse number 5 of chapter 34, he died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And the Lord buried him in the valley in the land of Moab opposite Beth Peor. But no one knows the place of his burial to this day. And Moses was 120 years old, 120 when he died. But this is amazing to me. He's 120 years old, but his eye was undimmed and his vigor unabated. That is a significant portion to underline in your Bibles. Significant. And the people of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab for 30 days. And the days of the weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. You know, Moses, at the end of his life, Judge, he was a man of vision and vigor at 120 years old. Sometimes I wake up at 45 wondering where my vision and vigor have gone. I'm not going to get an amen on that one. I mean, you know what I'm saying, guys? I'm like, what in... Here he is, 120. He was a man of vision and vigor to the very end. At his death, Moses was taken up on a mountain to view the land of promise. Not only did he see it with his eyes of faith, but he also is looking upon it with his excellent eyes of vision. His excellent vision, he is looking out upon what God had promised. I wonder what went through his mind as he rested his eyes upon that land. I am sure there was the pain of not being able to go there and not to enter the land of promise. But I am also certain that there was a powerful feeling that came with this understanding. They, these children, the children that I have led, they are going over into that promised land. As he stood up on that mountain, as he looked with his eyes, knowing that he could not go there, this is what I believe gave him comfort. They are going to enter the promised land. They are going to cross over this Jordan. You know, there comes a time in every generation when our leaders begin to pass on. I would like to believe at the end of my life that I could look upon the people whom I lead and know that they are going to chase and realize the dream. They're going to continue to chase after what God has placed in their heart, what God has placed in their life, and that they are going to chase after it in the power of the Spirit. I want to believe that I would have a feeling of complete confidence in the people to whom the torch of leadership is being given. This should be the goal of every leader, of every generation. There is no greater feeling, in my personal opinion, no greater feeling that can be given to the previous generation than this. Everything is going to be all right. To give that to the generation that has carried that baton for so long, who has built what we have here in this place today, to let them know as they begin to live out their twilight years that everything is going to be fine here in this place. We're going to carry that baton. We're going to get it, and we're going to carry forward, and we're going to chase the dream. We're going to chase God's vision here in this place. However, you know, during the transition, there always emerges a question among people. Has the dream died? It is a question that everyone asks. Has the dream died? I wonder. Who will lead us? Where will we go and what will we do? It is the question every generation must face, and it is, am I ready and am I able to lead? You know, in Deuteronomy 34, chapter 9, we're getting this confidence, and we're going to see the confidence of Joshua. The confidence of Joshua as he steps onto the scene where he is commissioned. Chapter 34 of Deuteronomy, verse number 9. Scripture simply tells us, Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the people of Israel obeyed him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. We see here, this is one of the first times in Scripture where we read of anyone laying their hands on someone. One of the very first occasions in Scripture. And here we have Moses commissioning Joshua to be the next leader, for him to carry on that vision, to carry on that purpose. As Moses lays his hand upon Joshua, I can't help but wonder, did Joshua feel what I felt so many years ago when the men of this church laid their hands upon me? And the men of this community came and placed their hands upon me. Complete confidence that God's hand was upon me. Complete confidence that God is leading us and leading Him in the right direction. You know, I'm sure the question was this: how will this young man fare? I'm sure Joshua looked at him and said, how will I fare in leading these people? It's a logical question. How will he lead these Israelites? Such a task must have been overwhelming. The number of people in the Israelite camp was astronomical. Yet he does not, in his introduction, appear to have any other motives other than those which the Lord has given him. I am certain that Joshua probably thought, what in the world have I gotten myself into? Has anybody ever felt like that? Ledger, Jason, any of our deacons, you ever feel like that? Sunday school teachers, what have I gotten myself into? MJ with leading the Sunday school, what have I gotten myself into? Right? But Moses had laid his hands upon him, commissioning him as the next leader. But such a commissioning does not mean that Joshua's leadership would be successful. There's a tremendous amount of stress upon Joshua. And here at this moment in the life of Israel, the question is he ready to lead? Is he able to lead? How will he fare and how will he lead? But then we look in Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 1. And then we begin to see the foundation is not with Moses laying his hands upon him to give him confidence, to give Joshua confidence. The foundation of Joshua's confidence comes from God's purpose. Verse number 1, the Lord said to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people in the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. God is here at this moment reassuring Joshua and the Israelites of what? Of the purpose. He's reassuring them that the purpose still exists. He's telling them that, hey, Joshua, you're going to enter the promised land. You're going to arise. It is now your time. Do not linger on this side. I want you to go over Jordan. I am giving the people of Israel this land. The dream is still alive, is what I see going on here, Doc. The dream is still alive. It did not die with Moses. The courage Joshua gains as he hears the Lord's command, arise up. I want you to go over this Jordan. I don't want you to stay on this side. I want you to go over and I want you to conquer the land. You know, you've been through a lot, this church has lately. And I know that many of you may have wondered if God's plan here was dead. Yet now, in the midst of the trial, you have begun to believe again. I simply want to encourage you to arise and let us cross this Jordan together. Let us arise and cross it together. The promise of success is present. It is here. Let us walk away from the failures of our past and into the promise of our future. Let us arise and go forward. Joshua gains confidence because of God's renewed purpose. The dream had never died. He's just changing leaders. Not only does that give Joshua confidence, but verses 5 through 6. As I look there, this is what Joshua says, just as I was with Moses, the Lord is saying, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Just as I was with Moses. What a word of comfort that must have been. Can you imagine hearing those words? You're being given all this responsibility. Oh, by the way, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. What a word of comfort that must have been to Joshua. What an awesome reassurance to give him courage, to give him confidence. You know, a question that I have, is it possible to feel God's presence? Anybody? Is it possible to feel God's presence? You know, the story brings to mind the story of Darlene Dibler Rose. She was a young American missionary who was in the jungles of New Guinea who survived 4 years of captivity in the Japanese prison camps during World War II. She tells her story. She describes feeling the powerful presence of God's loving presence sustaining her through beatings, horrible illnesses, diseases, and even the death of her husband there during the captivity of New Guinea during World War II. One day, suddenly, when she was in a solitary confinement, she suddenly stopped feeling the presence of God. And she began to worry that, and she began to look at her life and question, was there some thought that came into my mind? Was there something that I've done, Lord, to cause you to withdraw your presence from me? And she sought for weeks, and then nothing. That feeling would never come back to her. It was nothing. But then she said this. She said, Lord, I believe all the Bible says. I do walk by faith and not by sight. I do not need to feel you near, because your word says that you will never, ever forsake or leave me. Lord, confirm my faith, I believe. That is what she said. Such a powerful word and such a powerful testimony. You know, she said that the words of Hebrews 11:1 continually welled up and beckoned her to fill her mind. That scripture says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Evidence not seen. Evidence not seen. That was what she was putting her trust in. Not in feelings or moments of ecstasy, but in the unchanging person of Jesus Christ. It was faith stripped of feelings. It was faith without trappings. You know, I believe that we can feel God's presence and that we should eagerly seek it. But we cannot base our faith on a foundation of an emotional experience. If we base our faith simply upon our feelings, ladies and gentlemen, when the feelings go, guess what also goes? Our faith. Our faith. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is also being sure of what we do not see. So here Joshua is. He's getting this confidence of God's presence. But he's being reassured that it's not just an emotional experience that he's having, but it is the trust in what God has said in His Word. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You know, just because you may have not felt God's presence does not mean that He is not here. His Word assures us of His continued presence as we walk through the wilderness or the conquest of this promised land. Not only does Joshua gain confidence from His God's presence, God's purpose, he also gains it from God's precepts. You know, there in verses 7, 8, and 9, I'm going to summarize this quickly. Scripture says, be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all that I have commanded you. Moses, my servant, has commanded you. Do not turn to the right or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. Verse number 8, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate it on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For when you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Finally, in verse number 9, have I not commanded you? A question. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So let me ask this question. What is the key for Joshua's success? What is the key to his success? Meditating upon the law of God. When should he meditate upon it? Scripture says day and night. Should he always follow it? Scripture says he should not turn to the right hand nor to the left. But he should be careful to do according to all, not some, but all that is written in it. Then, that is the way that whole phrase sets up. Verses 7, 8, and 9. This is the way it sets up. If you do this, then you may have good success wherever you go. You will make your ways prosperous if you do this. And then you will have good success. You know, my mind talking and thinking about Moses and Joshua, I cannot help but forget the example Moses gave in Numbers chapter 20. The Israelites, we talked last week about how they grumbled and complained. That's all they did. I've never seen more grumbling, complaining people than the Israelites. Except when I hear my own self talking. You know what I'm saying? The Israelites, they're grumbling there again in Numbers chapter 20. Because they don't have any water. So God tells Moses to take his staff and assemble the congregation and speak to the rock before their eyes. Last week, he took the staff and he struck the rock, and it brought forth water. This time, he was, as a result of the people's grumbling, he was to take the staff, and he was to speak. Speak to it. Moses must have been frustrated with the people, because this is what Numbers chapter 20 says. As he takes the staff, he looks at the people and he says, listen now, you rebels. Listen now, you rebels. You hard, stiff-necked people, is what I hear him saying. Shall we bring forth water for you out of this rock? Shall we, he and his brother, not the Lord, shall we? In a moment of frustration, he does not speak to the rock. He takes that staff. He hits it not once, but twice. Of course, the water comes gushing forth. But then the Lord said this, because you have not believed me to treat me as holy in the sight of the sons of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. You know, Moses was a man battling uphill against the wheels. As I think about that, you know, sometimes as I feel as though life is a wilderness in which I wander. Have you ever felt that before? You know, I've had dreams, vision, you might say, about my life. But those dreams and that vision always seem to be over the next horizon. Sometimes I wonder if I will ever reach the promised land on this side of heaven. At times, I feel as though I might actually make it. But then after tackling the next hill, I realize that there is one more hill to climb. It seems to me that life is always a battle of the hills. Going uphill. Am I the only one that feels that way? Feels like life is a battle of the hills. But now that I think about it, life is much more than a battle of hills. Life is a battle of wills. Will I keep the precepts of God within my heart and meditate upon them day and night? Will I turn to the right or will I turn to the left? Will God's presence proceed with me? Will His promise be realized through me? So we come and get an invitation this morning. I want you to have courage today. Be strong and courageous in God's purpose, in God's presence, and in God's precepts that He's given us. And even though as we struggle and as we walk through this wilderness that is life, you know, the promised land is not just heaven. The promised land is about doing something miraculous and amazing for God here in the present. So each and every day we are in the conquest of the promised land. But it truly is a battle of our wills. As we close today, simply ask you this. How would you describe your walk with God? Are you timid? Fearful? Strong? How about courageous? Are you living in fear and shying away from the things you know God is calling you to do? Do you believe that God is really with you right now and at all times and will faithfully empower you as you step out in faith to accomplish His purpose? Will you arise? Will you arise and step out into your own life's Jordan? Do the waters look too deep? The currents may look too swift. But Scripture tells us as we look across Jordan to be strong and courageous. For the Lord has a purpose for us. His presence is always with us as long as we meditate upon His Word. His power will also be with us. You know, there was an old song, the cathedral sang. I'm not going to try to sing it, but it says, the lyrics said this, step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper. You can read on over in chapter 3 of Joshua, and that's what the priests did. They stepped out into the water with the Ark of the Covenant. You know what happened? It was another Red Sea experience. The Jordan's waters began to fold apart so that the children of Israel walked over the Jordan upon dry land. You see, crossing over the Jordan is no problem at all when the Lord is on our side, folks. So I'm going to ask you again today, will you arise? And let's go over this Jordan. Let's be strong and courageous in achieving wonderful things here in this place and in this town.